Oh, sorry about that. Booger! No, okay. All right.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
You're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Hardwired Human Serviette Radio Show. And who do we have in the studio right now? Who are you?
I am Johnny Sizzle.
And Johnny, who'd you have with you? Who else is here? Please introduce yourselves. Right close to the mic, too, if you could.
I'm Paul from Who Cares.
And you are Mr. Who Cares from...
Tacoma, Washington.
From Tacoma, Washington, Tacoa. And we also have, of course...
My name is Mr. Plow.
Mr. Plow. And big ups to Chris Horrific. Don't worry, Chris Horrific. We will not be asking Mr. Plow the same questions that I always ask Mr. Plow. But it's okay to ask you those questions, though, isn't it, Mr. Plow?
It is, but not,
isn't it?
Not today.
Can you please move close to the mic?
Sure. Both not today.
Neither of you are close enough to the mic. No, Who Cares is okay, but Plow and Sizzle are not close enough to the mic, please.
Yeah, let's get closer.
They're Canadian.
No, please, yeah, please.
With the exchange rate, they can't get close enough.
Please move close, if you could. Mr. Plow, are you still there, Mr. Plow?
Yes, I'm still here, Nardwire.
You have just returned from Peachland with this crew of people. What is going on this weekend? Anti-Folk, please explain.
Well, the Anti-Folk Fest is a brainstorm idea I had about 3 months ago while smoking pot in the back alley of the Cobalt Hotel. And thank you. And it was just something that I felt was probably very appropriate for Vancouver, considering there's a lot of so-called anti-folk slash acoustic chaos acts in Vancouver, and none of us will ever see the Vancouver Folk Festival stage in any way, shape, or form, because A, we're all poor and can never afford a ticket, and B, they will probably never, ever, 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 did I say ever, let us play on those stages.
You've been on this tip for a long time, haven't you, Mr. Plow? This acrustic tip, haven't you?
Acrustic, anarchistic, acoustic chaos, anti-folk.
I call it acoustic hardcore.
He calls it acoustic hardcore. He calls it nerd rock. You know, there's
yes,
many...
Yes, Johnny Sizzle is here as well, really far away from the mic. So
yeah, hang on.
I'm obsessing over this.
Here.
Mr. Sizzle, welcome back to the Nardwater Human Serviette Radio Show. Mr. Sizzle, are you there? Johnny Sizzle.
I am right here.
But you will not play any songs, will you? You will not do the Nerd Rock song.
I gave you a CD, and I don't feel like playing live music right now, so therefore I won't.
You have some amazing tunes, though. Like, you pioneered indirectly this sort of folk thing. Like, what is the history of this whole thing, this anti-folk?
The whole, okay.
Because
it
there is
like
anti-folk
this.
In the States, right? There is anti-folk in
yes,
the States.
Yes, and I've lived in New York before, and I'm well aware of it and everything like that. And I really, there are some artists out there I really think are great. Getting back to your question, how did it start? I think it started pretty genuine. It was just me and my brother. We were doing a lot of underage drinking at a picnic table in a forest, and we had a guitar, and we start ripping off like Sex Pistols and Metallica and Slayer
was
songs.
This in Winnipeg? Was this in Winnipeg? Because I first heard of
I
you.
I think it was outside of Winnipeg. It was, you know. Outside of Winnipeg.
Greater Winnipeg area?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I first heard of you.
In a forest.
I first heard of you through the rock and roll band Propagandy, Winnipeg.
I used to play shows with them.
Yeah, because you had like a cable access TV show, Mr.
Yeah, Rock and I would have them on my show regularly, as well as Ripcords. They were on the show too. If you remember the band Asexuals from Montreal, as well as them, they were on the show too. And a bunch of other local Winnipeg bands.
And then I also learned of you through Hugh Fokowski. Hugh Fokowski, who is friends with Winnipegers Propaganda, who's also friends with July 4th Toilet, who are going to be on the Nardwuar Human Serviette radio show
wonderful.
Coming up in a short while here. But first, we have to get back to the anti-folk. Please keep on explaining here. So you're sitting there in a trailer park doing your tunes.
Not a trailer park, forest. Forest. This is an earthy thing, you see. But it's demented in a metallic kind of way and everything like that. And I think it started from there, and we really enjoyed ourselves. And then I went out to a couple of open jams. This would be like early 90s, going out to open jams. I was like 18 at the time and starting to play music, and people were getting off on it. Either they loved it or they hated it. And the people who liked it, I really digged, so I kept friendships with them. And the people that hated it, I actually got quite a lift out of pissing them off.
And where was this in your life? Because didn't you move to Toronto and become a wrestler? And where did Vancouver fit into all this? Because now you've been in Vancouver for a little while, and obviously that's where you met Mr. Plow, right? At the Cobalt.
No,
probably.
No.
Originally we met in Sudbury at the Townhouse Tavern. Anybody who tours Canadian circuit knows where that
now,
is.
Now, this is where Chris Riffick of CITR gets mad, because I ask Mr. Plow the Townhouse Tavern question every time. But it does tie into everything, doesn't it? Doesn't it there, Mr. Plow? The Townhouse. That was the place that you guys stayed at with JP5 when you were...
Yeah, that's old news. The best news about the Sudbury, the Townhouse in Sudbury, was that I woke up. And I went upstairs to the bar after staying in a band room, even though we never played a show there. And I met the man known as Johnny Sizzle, who I had heard about through the Nardwuar, whatever your show is called. And
the Nardwuar Human Serviette radio show.
And I saw his name on a poster, and I was just like, damn, the guy's here in Sudbury. And the bartender said, yeah, if he's not upstairs masturbating, he's down here in the bar. So I luckily got a chance to meet Johnny Sizzle, and we sat there and talked about the Nickel in Sudbury and
Stompin' Tom, who's playing tonight in Vancouver.
Remember what we did?
Oh yeah, we took pictures of him making love to a giant pig outside on the street.
I like the way you're kind of censoring the story a bit there, Mr. Plow, but keeping the mic away from Johnny Sizzle. Johnny Sizzle, pull back the mic.
Yeah, she still has the photo, Sizzle. It's all good. They're safe. There's no blackmailing going on here, Sizzle.
A soft pig. Please explain, Johnny Sizzle.
Like a beanbag chair pig, kind of, you know, like a stuffed animal.
It's so big.
Mike, please. Mike, please.
No, well, the size of it was so big and everything like that. Like, it's like... I'm 5'4", and it was 5'4". We are perfect. And, and And you're Johnny Sizzle.
I play with stuffed pigs.
Okay, yeah. Hold on, Mr. Plow. Hold on, Mr. Plow. Okay, so Sudbury, you're meeting Mr. Plow there.
Yeah.
Then when do you come to Vancouver? Have you already been in Vancouver? Because you were in Vancouver.
I came to Vancouver, played some street hockey, and really liked it, and decided I want to move here. Since I moved to Vancouver, I haven't played any street hockey, but I'm still here.
So you moved to Vancouver, and then where did Who Cares fit in? Paul, where did Who Cares fit in?
I met Mr. Plow in Tacoma. He came on another one of his fabulous tours. And then he came back down.
Expensive tours.
Yeah. And my buddy Dave, my songwriting partner back in the States who couldn't make it over the border, he and I host an oil wrestling event every Thursday in Tacoma. And Plow came down and was nice enough to play it.
And oil wrestling?
Yes.
That's first we played a show at Hell's Kitchen together.
Oh, that's right, Hell's Kitchen.
And we never knew who each... We didn't know each other or nothing. And I played and... He had the biggest poop-eating grin on his face because he was just like, dude, where have you been all my life? Because
are you acoustic?
Yeah.
Yes. Who Cares acoustic?
Yeah.
Is your CD acoustic or some band on there?
It's acoustic, but it has a percussionist and a drummer on it. And we like to call our genre of music acoustic comedy punk. I heard them get to give theirs. Who's? Famous. People like to talk to me.
I'm not sure. I think we'll just disconnect.
Let's talk.
We'll have to actually disconnect that. This is really weird. I don't know why somebody did. Okay, there we go. And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show. So Who Cares? You met Mr. Plow. And how did Mr. Plow explain what's going on here in Vancouver with anti-folk, etc.? Or the acrostic age.
I don't really think I did. I just said come up and play.
Yeah.
And this is your first time up here.
First time up.
First time up playing live. Tomorrow night at the Cobalt, right?
At the Cobalt.
This is tomorrow at the Cobalt. And explain a bit about what's going to be on and who's going to be featured.
Okay, well, tomorrow night we're putting on, as we said earlier with getting interrupted, we're putting on the first annual anti...
First Canadian.
Shut up. The first anti-folk festival at the Cobalt Hotel located on Main Street. It's $5 to get in. You actually will receive free entry if you were, had lots of dollars and wanted to spend it on the corporate folk festival and you had a wristband.
Yeah, if you went to the Vancouver Folk Festival and...
Mr. Sizzle?
Hey, microphone boy. So anyways, if you have a wristband for the Vancouver Folk Festival, we will be kind enough to give you free entrance to our anti-folk fest so you can actually see the other side of the tracks, as it were.
And this is tomorrow at the Cobalt and some other performers too, right? Some other...
Oh, yeah.
Evan is on there.
Featuring the one and only Evan Simons, however you want to pronounce that, the godfather of Thunderbird Radio Hell himself, and Mr. Fat Joe Satan is going to be there, Mr. Lou Piss is going to be there, Mr. Johnny Sizzle, Who
Miss
Cares?
Sizzle.
Oh, sorry, Miss Johnny Sizzle. Dan Scum is going to perform, the Wet Spots are going to perform. Yeah,
and this is all tomorrow night at the Cobalt.
Yes, sir.
The anti-folk fest.
It's only $5.
And coming up right now is going to be a live performance with Who Cares, and you're handling the guitar duties because I understand, Mr. Who Cares, your better half there did not even attempt a border, did he?
No, not even close.
But you will attempt to do a song right now here live on CITR, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And I will say, for all the younger listeners that are listening now, please tune out, our parents, please tune out if you're easily offended, because you will be offended after you hear Who Cares and Johnny Sizzle. And take it away, Who Cares?
No one. All right, this is a song about all the people I'm not.
I'm not Ted Nugent. I'm not Tiny Tim. Not Marilyn Manson. I'm not Greg Kinn. Not Peter Paul. Or even Mary. I'm not Frank Sinatra, and I'm not Deborah Harry. I'm not Paul McCartney, all that is for sure. I'm not even Linda or the guy from The Cure. 'Cause they don't know what it's like to be a no one like me, a wannabe superstar. Without celebrity, they got the fortune, they got the fame, riding their fancy cars, drinking champagne, Well, I'm still a no one. It's always the same. I'm up here singing songs, and you don't even know my name. No, you don't even know my name. I'm not Keith Richards, I'm not Jimmy Page, I'm not Elvis Presley or Nicolas Cage, I'm not Frank Zappa, I'm not Mark Twain, I'm not Pee Wee Herman, and I'm not John Wayne, I'm not O.J. Simpson or even Cato, I'm not Jackie Collins, and I'm not Fabio. 'Cause they don't know what it's like to be a no one like me. A wannabe superstar. Without celebrity, they got the fortune, they got the fame. Riding their fancy cars, drinking champagne. Well, I'm still a no one, it's always the same. I'm up here singing songs, and you don't even know my name. No, you don't even know my name. I'm not Tina Turner or her violent manic. I'm not Johnny Rotten and I'm not Ginger Spice. I'm not JP Patches or Edie Amin. I'm not Mr. Bubble and I'm not Mr. Clean. I'm not Oprah Winfrey or Geraldo. I'm not Peter Frampton and I'm not Jackie O. 'Cause they don't know what it's like to be a no one like me. A wannabe superstar. Without celebrity, they got the fortune, they got the fame. Riding their fancy cars, drinking champagne. Well, I'm still a no one, it's always the same. I'm up here singing songs, and you don't even know my name. No, you don't even know my name. My name, my name, my name, my name, my name, and you don't even know my name.
And we do know your name. You're Who Cares? Live on CITR, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nerd World, a human serviette radio show. That was Who Cares from Tacoma, Washington, performing live with a little help from Mr. Plow. And Who Cares will be at the Cobalt tomorrow night, Saturday, July 17th, for the Anti-Folk Fest. Now, Who Cares? Nobody knows who you are, but I heard that you were on American Bandstand, Jolly Rancher. What's the connection? What is the history? What is your history there? Please.
It was actually Jellyfinger.
And okay.
I was on American Bandstand, and I used to do this act where I would end up wearing a birthing glove. And
but just hold on for a second here.
Uh-huh.
You just were on American Bandstand. You could be one of the only acts I've ever interviewed that's ever been on American Bandstand. This is an amazing event. Like, this back. How did you get on? Okay, well, go ahead, please.
How did I get on?
I mean, that's amazing.
How did I get on American Bandstand? Absolute fluke. A guy I worked with all the time on the radio, they kept saying, oh, yeah.
Where were you living? Was this in Tacoma?
No, actually, I was in Nevada at the time.
Okay.
I was living in Tahoe. And so this guy that I knew kept trying to get me to sign up for this deal to go play American Bandstand. And so he talked me into it by bribing me with a lot of weed. And so I let him copy my tape. He sent it in, and 2 days later, I got a phone call.
And what band was this with, you were saying?
A band called Jellyfinger.
Jellyfinger, not Jolly Rancher. Jellyfinger. So were there releases by the Jellyfinger? Are you allowed to perform on American Bandstand without having a record? Were you on there without a record?
Yes, we were on there without a record. There were 12 bands on there without a record, actually.
Wow, that's quite a few.
Yeah, yeah. So there were 12 of us. It was kind of a battle of the bands thing. And basically, at the end of our set, I got to throw 2.5 gallons of KY jelly on Dick Clark. It was pretty fabulous.
You actually threw it on him?
Absolutely.
100%. Now, was that pre-rehearsed, or did he...
No, actually, I would throw KY jelly as a part of this act with Jellyfinger, and at the end of that set, there was about 8 beats left in the song, and I looked down, there was about a half bucket of KY jelly left. And so I picked it up and I tossed it, and this viscous sheen of goo just went out and covered the whole group. It was very fabulous.
And what was the reaction?
Well, absolutely amazement. And so we went back to the green room, and we were all like, you know, having a good time and laughing, and some crazy producer guy comes kicking in the door. And he's like, Mr. Clark has sent word you'll never play the Bandstand again. And at that exact moment, I felt like an honorary Sex Pistol.
Exactly. I mean, how many bands play it again anyways? Very rarely does it happen.
It's
like, that's an amazing achievement.
Yes,
but,
it was.
So when this happened, did people watch this? Was this written up anywhere? What year was this?
Like, this was 1997.
So was this written up anywhere? Like, could people have watched it live, or did they edit it out?
Actually, it was a 12-band thing, and it did go out on the air.
So people actually saw Dick Clark getting hit by jelly.
I think that was probably edited out.
So they did edit it,
yes,
then?
Yes.
So you've never actually seen any raw clips of it?
Oh, no, actually, I have all the raw footage. Of a good friend of mine, Mia, back home, has all the raw footage of the whole show, everybody's acts. It was very fun.
Have you ever thought of putting that together with a video or something that we can access, like on the net or something like that? That seems to be Johnny Sizzle's favorite thing these days,
yeah,
isn't
now.
It? Johnny Sizzle, you're refusing to play live. You just want us to play your songs off the net, right? Johnny Sizzle, is that true? Like, what's
yep.
when did you change, Johnny Sizzle? When did you change?
When did I change?
Yeah, like, before you were carrying a guitar out, you'd like to play your songs and stuff like that. You'd always say later, masturbator, and all that type of thing, and Now you've changed Johnny Sizzle. How would you describe Johnny Sizzle? Actually, or should I say, how would you describe Johnny Sizzle? Who cares? And how were you described? How were you Johnny Sizzle? How was Johnny? How was Johnny Sizzle described to you?
He was about to say Skizzle.
How was he described to me? Actually, all I was ever told about Johnny Sizzle was, "You're gonna have to meet him. There's nothing I can tell you about him. You're gonna have to meet him." And then when I met him, you know, what else could I think? Look at him now, sexy. You know?
How was the gig last night in Peachland, Mr. Plow? Was Sizzle along for the gig?
No, Johnny Sizzle didn't come to that show.
What about the cops?
We had a great drive up. You know, Paul here from Who Cares has never really seen Canada before, so I took him the scenic route on the Coquihalla Highway, and then little did we know that there'd be a big police road check right after the Coquihalla toll, and we got my van got ripped apart by the lovely Merritt RCMP, and they actually found some contraband in my car, and they were actually nice enough to still let us go. It was not a joint, actually.
It was what?
It was like an eighth of marijuana, and they confiscated the marijuana, and they let us go to Peachland and let him stay in Canada for another day.
Nice.
What an amazing experience there. Who cares? How about the actual gig? How did you enjoy the gig?
The gig was fun. The people in Peachland are slow, so it worked out well.
Are you an experienced gig player, Mr. Who Cares? Are you experienced with the gigs? Like, for instance, in the Jolly Drancher, did you do lots of gigs?
I've been playing for years.
What sort of bands have you played with over the years? For instance, like, you're going to be playing the Cobalt.
Right.
This is, like, really important, playing the Cobalt. I mean, for Canada. I mean, there's one of the few venues that, like, books bands and stuff easily. Well, not... Mm-hmm. Is it hard to get...
It's probably one of the only venues that books such an event like this, especially like or allow a little acoustic filth to grace the stage.
Yeah, where have you played over the years, and with what bands have you played with? Any sort of interesting stories relating to that? It's like throwing jelly at other people, or just people reacting violently to that? And how did you end up in Tacoma?
How did I end up in Tacoma?
Dude, we don't have that much time.
No, I've played over the years in a lot of different bands. I am from Seattle, Tacoma, so obviously I've done all the, you know, lots of bands that sounded like we were from Seattle and Tacoma.
Do you know the guys in the band Seaweed being
yes,
from Tacoma?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. We recorded on their gear in 92, I think. So, yeah, I know, like, Clint Werner and those guys.
And the Ronson Family Switchblade.
Oh,
I think.
Yes, Ronson Family Switchblade. They're Tacoma boys.
They're Takwa and the Java Jive.
Oh, Bob's World Famous Java Jive?
Yes, the Java Jive.
Yes, the teapot. You been there?
Yes, I have.
Oh, yeah.
Just quickly here, what are some places that people should check out in Tacoma? If you want to go to Tacoma and check out, you know, I would say that Guitar Maniacs. That's a great guitar store, right?
Rick King's store, yeah. Yeah, Dickie K, Guitar Maniacs.
They've always got some good stuff there. And the Java
Jive is fine. Bob's World Famous Java Jive, and then there's Hell's Kitchen, 6th and Proctor, and there's a few other clubs. There's Neener's, and you can see Oil Wrestling at Neener's.
Hell's Kitchen,
and Fender's Bar and Grill.
And you're listening to CITR FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, with Who Cares, Mr. Plow, and Johnny Sizzle.
Hello.
How the hell are you, Johnny Sizzle? Johnny, grab that mic there.
Johnny,
perfect.
Are you still obsessed with your dick?
My dick?
Yeah, because remember you had all those songs.
You're not with my only one, no.
Because you still... You had all these songs, Joni Sizzo. My balls, gooey and gucky. Get it on your shirt. Save it for dessert. Remember those lines?
Yes, I do remember those lyrics.
Are you going to be singing those lyrics tomorrow at the Cobalt?
Type for Bob.
Maybe not. Maybe so. I don't know.
Right now, we're going to have Who Cares do another number. Can we have a cowboy tune? Are we okay on the cowboy?
Yeah, do cowboy or Mexican?
Let's do the cowboy song.
Or Mexican-American.
A bit of background here, Mr. Plow. Well, background on this song, please. Who cares? What do we got for this song? And is this stuff available anywhere?
At the show tomorrow.
At the show tomorrow?
That's right. Only time you can get it.
Any website or anything to check out or places for more information?
WhoCaresJukebox.com.
And you can hear all these ones? Downloadable?
No, there's a real nice picture of my friend dressed up in drag. That's the only thing on there.
Okay.
And we also discussed in the last couple days about putting out a special split album where it's Mr. Plow versus, like, it's Canada versus America. It's Mr. Plow versus Who Cares.
And it is interesting, actually. You have a song called She Was Dead, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And Mr. Plow deals with death quite a bit. But we're not allowed to mention that this time, are
we? Great fascination.
Sorry, Chris Riffick.
Tell Chris Riffick to...
And right now, we have any background on Cowboy? Anything you'd like
to
say?
It's probably the oldest Who Cares song, and it's a lot of fun.
And here we have Who Cares, live on CITR, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Surrey.
Surrey?
Surrey.
Surrey.
I love Surrey.
We call it Surrey.
Surrey.
My dog, he done fucked me in my sleep, and my woman didn't even make a peep. She took pictures and she put them on TV. Well, I'm just a worthless pile of shit now. Say hey hey cow, cut a cow, 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 sucking on a cow, cut a cow, 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 sucking on a cow, cut a cow, 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 sucking on a cow. My wife, she done left the other day, and Springer told the world that I was gay. He had pictures and he put them on TV. Well, I'm just a worthless pile of shit now. Say hey hey cow, cut a cow, 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 sucking on a cow, cut a cow, 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 sucking on a cow, cut a cow, 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 sucking on a cow. My woman, she done caught me with the sheep. She stuck right up, didn't even make a peep. She took video, oh, and she put it on TV. Well, I'm just a worthless pile of shit now. Say hey hey cow, cut a cow, 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 sucking on a cow, cut a cow, 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 sucking on a cow, 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 sucking on a cow. Well, I'm just a country boy from Surrey. Cow, cow, cow.
Cares live on CITR, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and Who Cares will be at the Cobalt tomorrow night as part of the first annual Anti-Folk Fest. Mr. Plow, what time is Mr. Plow going to be on? What time is Who Cares going to be on? What time is this whole thing
going
on?
The whole show, if you're there at 9 o'clock, you'll get the best seats in the house, and if you're there at 12 o'clock, you'll get the worst seats in the house, and you'll probably miss three quarters of the show. So I recommend getting there by 9 o'clock if you want the good seats, and 9:30 if you actually want to see something, and it's only $5.
And this is at the Cobalt, and it's true, you get free admission with a Folk Fest wristband.
That is correct, sir, and I think you guys are giving away tickets today, too, aren't you?
I have no idea, actually.
Look in your book.
No, we don't have tickets for that right here. That's for something else.
Actually,
I was going to ask you, Mr. Who Cares, have you ever played a folk fest before? Have you ever submitted to anything like that? Is this folk music?
What I do is that folk music?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's authenticating the urban urban experience.
I would say so, too.
What isn't folk music, then? What isn't? Isn't everything folk music? What isn't folk music?
You're a person, and you want to express yourself.
What isn't folk
music? Yeah, what isn't folk music?
Us. That's why we're not at the Folk Fest. We're not folk.
I could be at the Folk
Fest. Shut up, Sizzle. We're not folk.
And you are Mr. Plow, Johnny Sizzle, and Who Cares, live here on the Nardwuar, a human serviette radio show. So Who Cares, the guy playing guitar for you, couldn't, well, you didn't even attend to bring across the border, but Mr. Plow's done a good job learning all
Mr.
the songs.
Mr. Plow kicks ass. That's
and,
right.
But what's hilarious is looking at you, Mr. Plow, are you still there? You don't have to keep practicing. You're doing a good job there. What's amazing is as you're playing the tunes, you can't stop for laughing. Is this hard doing with Who Cares?
if you get to witness what me and you, Nardwuar, just got to witness of Johnny Sizzle dancing. No offense, Sizzle. I know, but the way you're dressed today, watching you dance in the studio is pretty freaking hilarious.
Okay.
In a good way, not a bad way.
But how about the lyrics, though, for Who Cares?
Oh, the guy, like I was saying earlier before you interrupted me, you know, when I first met Who Cares, it was like we wanted to check our sides to see if we had scars, and because we were separated at birth, because, you know, this was like a match made in hell and heaven or whichever you believe in. And, no, it was just genius from day one, and, like, we pretty much started booking a tour right after we played that first show together, and then we did a 4 or 5 day acoustic filth tour through Washington and Oregon back in April, and then now he's up here, and he's spreading the filth in Canada just like I do in the States.
How have the gigs gone? How did the gigs go on that tour? Like, I would imagine you would bring down the house. Do you bring down the house? Who cares?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's hard playing with Mr. Plow because he's so good.
But how about when you start to sing? Like, how soon when you start to sing does a swear word come out? You know, like, is
first
it like
song.
Like, so, like, how quickly do people turn their heads? You know what I mean?
Like, usually only one or two people leave. The rest of them just start laughing.
But, like, how quickly do people start laughing or note? I'm just wondering, because, you know, like, you know when a band goes, they walk up on the stage, you know, and then everybody's kind of doing, you know, do you notice, like, people turning right away their heads
oh, yeah.
or something like
well,
that?
Well, by the time I get up on stage, everyone's wondering what the hell it is I'm going to do with an acoustic guitar, having no, you know, I look so rock and roll.
Yeah.
And, and then, yeah, so pretty much very, very opening.
Like, when you start to, how quickly do you bring the swearing in to grab the people?
First verse.
Yeah.
Except today we've been having some watered-down versions. This is for the kiddies in a game.
Right.
Tune out if you're easily offended, because you will be offended when you go to the Cobalt tonight, or if you're listening. No, it's tomorrow. Actually, if you go to the Cobalt any night. But
yeah.
Tomorrow night, specifically to the Cobalt for the Anti-Folk Fest. But winding up here, do you want to do another? Do you have one more song to leave us with here at all?
He won't let us play that one.
We can't keep it.
Hey, what about my CD?
I'm not.
For
let's do Mexican Americans. It's Cheech and Chong song.
Yeah, maybe a bit
that's
of background. Can you do a bit of background?
Sure.
A bit of justification for what you're about to do.
Oh, okay. So this song is a Cheech and Chong cover, and my buddy Dave and I were getting stoned in Long Beach, sitting in a hotel, wishing to God that our next show would start. And Cheech and Chong was on, and we just laughed our asses off and decided to add a chorus and a little bit of music to this.
What is this from? Is this from an album or
their
from a
second movie?
Their
second movie.
The next movie?
Yeah, the next movie. And it's the part where Chong goes, Beaner's going to kick you in the face, that whole deal. And so we just sort of gave it a melody.
And it's amazing. It's all connected because Tommy Chong is in jail. Like, you guys almost could have ended up in jail. And Tommy Chong is from Vancouver.
We were
British Columbia, Canada, or he at least lives here.
We're hoping to be cellmates.
Yeah.
Who cares?
We are soulmates, so we want to be cellmates.
Who cares? Live on CITR, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Mexican-Americans don't like to just get into gang fights. They like flowers and music and white girls named Debbie, too. Mexican-Americans don't like to get up in the morning and go to work, but they have to, so they do it very slow. Whoa, ho, don't you know I love Mexican-Americans? Whoa, ho, don't you know I love Mexican-Americans? Mexican-Americans are really into education. They go to night school and take Spanish and barely manage a B. Mexican-Americans, I like to have a lot of children. A named Sancho and Maria, and a son-in-law named Jeff. Whoa, ho, don't you know I love Mexican-Americans? Whoa, ho, don't you to know I love Mexican Americans. Mexican Americans, I really love to drive the Chevys. With the tops down and the low ride and the plastic Virgin Mary. Mexican Americans don't like it when you fuck their sister. So drink tequila and forget her, or they'll kick you in the face. Whoa, ho, don't you know I love Mexican Americans? Whoa, ho, don't you know I love Mexican Americans? Whoa, ho, don't you know I love Mexican Americans? Whoa, ho, don't you know I love Mexican Americans?
Who cares? Live on CITR FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, with his cover of Cheech and Chong's
Mexican-Americans.
And check out, who cares, Mr. Plow, the Wet Spots, Lupus? Who's Lupus?
Lupus.
Oh, Lupus. Evan Simons. Johnny Shishel and the Whiskey Dick. Whiskey Dick.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
We played, actually, that's who got us the show last night in the Peachland Kelowna area was Whiskey Dick. They're a two-piece from Kelowna that 98% of their set are cover songs, like Gwar covers, Kevin Bloody Wilson covers, Sloppy Seconds, like Dennis Leary, like just comedic filth, all cover songs. And they're playing too.
That's the Whiskey Dick and Fat Joe Satan as well, live here on
Talk Much Nardwar,
the Cobalt at the Anti-Folk Fest, the first annual Anti-Folk Fest. And right now, I'm queuing up, right now, as we speak, a Johnny Sizzle tune to leave us. But what can you say about this Johnny Sizzle?
This song is better than a bag of burgers.
Okay, and you're going to be performing it tomorrow night as well at the Cobalt as part of the Anti-Folk Fest. Again, your wristband from the Folk Fest gets you in free.
Yep, that's right. So dump them and come with us.
Well, thanks very much, Who Cares, Johnny Sizzle and Mr. Plum. Anything else you want to add to the people out there at all?
Well, just to broaden what Johnny was saying about that song of his there, is that it's coming out on his brand new...
It's the day, and there's something like a Pee Wee Herman thing would happen if we said it.
Into the mic! Okay.
Go to your room, Sizzle. Go to your room. This is a track off Johnny Sizzle's brand spanking new CD that is hopefully coming out in September, early October. It's actually coming out on my record label known as Krusty Records, which is shameless self-promoting. And this is Johnny Sizzle with a full band, but you'll never see him play live like this. So suck it up and enjoy.
Okay, well, thanks much, Plow, Mr. Sizzle, and Who Cares? Keep on rocking in the free world, and doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Who cares?
That will work, but can we have a bit more specific? Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Picked up by a mean old trucker. Yes, he tried to rape her. Yes, he tried to fuck her. Stabbed him with a knife and his blood shed. Kicked him on the road and left him for dead. As she drove away from the scene of the crime, the highway patrol was after her in no time. Screaming for the state line, the hell knows where. She's gonna have to grow a beard and die her hair again. Girl, racer tumbles all across the world. She's just a grinding me wild and free. Oh, police, don't get a ride back to me. Oh, come back to me. Oh, stood onto the road, waited for a future that is soon unfold. She got picked up by nuns and they drove her to Cincy. They gave her a lot of food but they felt a lot of pity. She went to a nightclub to a punk rock band. She had the guitar for a ride in their van. He's saying, you can have a ride, you cute little vamp. First you gotta carry my guitar amp. In the all tin can, it was quite the ride. In the icy road, they would slip and slide. Crash into a ditch, they know it's saw the lights. I guess there's no punk rock show in Cleveland tonight. Oh, you know. Troubles all across the world. She does a grind in me wild and free. Hopefully she'll get alright. Back to me, baby. Come back to me. Hitchhiking girl. Hitchhiking girl. Oh, hitchhiking girl. Hitchhiking girl. I do not know where you are tonight. I
You're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show. Right before the song we just heard just now, we heard some Johnny Sizzle, and Johnny Sizzle's going to be part of the Anti-Folk Fest this Saturday night at The Cobalt with Who Cares Mr. Plow and a whole bunch of other performers. But right now we have in the studio, actually, who are you? Who do we have in the studio right now?
July 4th Toilers.
Please introduce yourselves close to the mic, if you could. Please, close to the mic.
I'm Robert Dayton.
I'm Stephen Hamm.
I'm Mark Gabriel.
I'm Julian Lawrence.
And together you are...
Clancy's over there.
Clancy's filming.
At this point in time, we're about one quarter of the July 4th toilet.
And what did we just hear? How does that relate to you guys? We just heard some rock fantasy excerpts. Please explain. This is an interesting concept. Who came up with this? This was your lady friend that came up with this, Julian. What is July 4th toilet? A little background.
We'll pass that back to Rob.
A little background.
We can describe what July 4th...
Close to the mic.
Mike!
Okay. Yeah, I don't have the earphones.
How many times have you been on an Art Ready Human Serviette radio show? And you're always tricking me.
But you're always moving.
Cameras in. It's amazing.
And you're always moving the mics on me, man. You know, I expect this mic to be at the same level spot it was last time I was here.
Okay, Julian is going to explain the history. Julian, please. The history. July 4th toilet. Your perspective.
About 10 years ago, Rob and I were sitting in our apartment.
Yeah, we were roommates, by the way. We had separate rooms.
But we made it.
It's funny, Rob, that your voice comes loud when you interrupt Julian, but when I want you to be on your own, you're in a distance. Does that sum up the relationship of July 4th toilet?
It does. I'll let him ramble, and then I'll intercede with some logic.
So the band's been going 10 years, and now you've picked this rock fantasy album to cover.
Which we wanted to cover since we started the band ten years ago, Julian and I.
And how did you encounter this album? This was through your lady friend, you were saying.
My rock and roll woman actually went down to Winnipeg about 10 years ago and discovered Rock Fantasy on 8-track.
K-Tel. Rock Fantasy.
It's one of the original, it's the only, one of the few original music records put out by K-Tel. And it's actually a whole bunch of Jude Lakin songs. Most of them, like, ripped off by the owners of K-Tel and...
Basically,
it seems fascinating.
Basically, Jewel Akins, who was made famous for Birds and the Bees, had a bunch of songs, and half of the songs on the on Rock Fantasy are some are even original backing tracks for these Jewel Akins songs. And K-Tel actually bought the rights off the people who had the rights to these Jewel Akins songs. They bought the rights, and so they reconfigured it into the album, this Rock Fantasy
album.
It's
a concept album.
Yes.
So it's...
It's a concept album, man.
It seems amazing. So basically they bought, like, this old stock, these old recordings, and then just went crazy doing whatever they wanted with it. Did he even know what was going on, Jewel Akins?
Jewel Akins, I don't think, knew what was going on. He sort of recorded these songs that were written by Norman somebody.
And who knows if he actually wrote them. Those could have been his producers who wanted a slice of the pie.
This is amazing. Like, it's an album. Rock fantasy.
Yeah.
I just love the idea that they brought some guys back, that they bought some guys' back catalog, and they just did whatever the hell they wanted
it's
with
supposed
it.
To be
over
a
top of it.
Just well, like that's half of the songs. We don't even know the origins of the other half of the songs. I mean, we tried to find out.
It's supposed to be a children's album, and every song is with a different animal, right? It's the land where animals or people is the concept. And so
it's actually for children just entering puberty,
as you
can tell by the two barely into their teens holding hands on the cover.
But when he put it together, when he put this album together, when the songs were originally recorded, was there any vision for it? Were they just some songs lying around, and then they shaped it into what they wanted it to be?
K-Tel did.
And,
the genius of K-Tel.
I would like to mention that the July 4th toilet next Friday night, the 23rd of July at the Wise Hall, we'll be reshaping it one more time into our own vision.
And a live theatrical stage.
Yeah.
Rock theater, man. Rock fantasy made reality.
So this is
on stage
rock,
next
Rock
week.
Fantasy is really an example of the early remix, isn't it? It's like an early remix.
Exactly,
It's
yeah.
like, you know, you guys are remixing the album, but K-Tel first remixed the
That's
album,
right,
didn't
in
they?
In a weird way. It sounds like some sort of drunken office K-Tel
So maybe explain
to
people.
But you know what?
More.
No one,
what are you going to
no
do?
One,
that?
No one,
you
no one. No one at K-Tel knows the origin of this album.
Caller, go ahead to Rob Dayton and the rest of July 4th Toilet, including Julian, too. Caller, go ahead.
Hello. Hello, it's Jody.
Hey, Jody.
It's Jody from July 4th Toilet.
Another member. Hello, Jody. How are you doing?
I think half the listeners out there today are in the band July 4th Toilet.
Jody, what would you like to say about July 4th Toilet, your involvement, and the Rock Fantasy record?
Well, I'm glad we made it 10 years, and Rock Fantasy is probably the most fun concept that we've ever done.
And bands have covered records before, haven't they?
Yes.
Especially us. We have a long lineage of actually
like
covering
albums. Who have you covered, and who have you heard covering bands as well? Because I know it's a Cheap Trick, they do all the early records and all that sort of stuff, you know?
Well, we should state right off the bat that when Julian and I formed the band originally, we stated that we were going to be a theme band. The theme of the band, the basic concept of the band was to be a concept band. So every single show would be completely
completely different and have its own theme. And that led us into, in fact, the very first thing we covered was a studio project, basically 3 a.m. drunk, playing along to the White Album, because Sonic Youth promised to cover the White Album, and they never did. So we covered the White Album, and then we took it, we added samples, new vocals, different things, and put it all through the sampler. Mike Ledwidge from the group Zampano, as you know, which was the pop group, Vancouver pop group, that Carl later went on to do The New Pornographers.
And Jason Zampano went on to do Sparrow.
There you go. And so, but Mike Ledwidge of that band basically went and took his sampler and reworked this. And that was the first project, the official project released by us on cassette, the White Trash album cassette, which we'll play a bit later. And so basically we started off covering whole albums. And we covered that. We covered
Tubular Bells.
I couldn't even. I'm the front man of the band, and it's an instrumental album, so I was supposed to play Triangle, but I was too drunk.
Well, this is what I'm wondering exactly about is how can you top what you've done previously? You've got an 18-piece band right now, right? 18-piece.
Is this true? Instrumentally, it's a 4-piece band, but there's a cast of 18.
Mm-hmm.
And if you include the mean, ferocious man behind the gate,
so you've had to
it's
do
19.
So you've had to do some explaining. Are people coming up to you going, it's 18-piece now? Are they confused by that?
We were always a large band. There was always 9, 10 members in the band. At all times. I mean, we were a thing where we were a multi-piece act, and that was part of the deal.
Some of us could play,
some of us couldn't. I mean, obviously, you know, Julian and Clancy and Ham can play technically very well. I can't play a lick. What can you play, Mark?
Not much.
Yeah.
That's why you'll be recording.
And Jody is still on the line from July 4th Toilet. Are you there, Jody?
I still am here.
Jody, how are you guys going to top? How are you going to top what you've done previously? And the reason I'm saying this, 18 people in the band. Okay, 19. Okay, yeah. 19 people in the band. That's pretty impressive. But what happened that time, a long, long time ago, when Rob pissed into the cup? How are you going to top pissing into a cup? I mean, shouldn't you just retire after that? Rob, you pissed.
Just wait. I've got it. I mean,
he's got it.
It's hard work. It's a lot of sweat, and we have, after 10 years, a good intuitive feel for what it means to be July 4th Toilet and to work.
Hold on a second here. What the hell is the cameraman doing hitting me, telling me to do stuff? Do you have something you want to say? I mean, come on. If you want to say something, say it.
For the listeners out there, we have someone filming this.
Our drummer
believes in the old art school adage, document everything.
Yeah, I don't care if you say I'm an idiot, but don't kick me on radio. That's not going to translate.
Sometimes it gets you going, though. I gotta say, though,
the canned ham...
It's like a battery. It's the original battery, and the original battery is a kick in the pants.
We do have an element of canned ham here. We have big ham and little ham. What do you think? Are you jealous of canned ham, Julian? Julian,
no,
Mark?
Are you guys,
they've kind of branched off, right? You guys were the superconductor, and then they've done their little Zampano, and now they're kind of going on and getting big time, like new pornographing.
I joined the band after I joined... After we formed Canned Ham, Rob sort of like just wanted me like in every fold of his life. So,
but I mean, come on, you're like Eddie Vedder.
We have bunk beds.
You're like Eddie Vedder playing drums for Mike Watt.
That's right.
That's basically. You know what I mean? You are the Vedster. You are in control there.
Except, actually, there's about 4 Eddie Vedders in me.
But back to Jody and Rob. Jody, are you still there? Jody,
I want to get to this peeing in the cup.
I'd like to get a bit of background. What am I alluding to there? Because was there not a July 4th Toilet gig that Rob pissed in a cup at the end of like a 24-hour gig? What was that?
We'll just let the legend exaggerate and roll over.
One of my favorite shows that the July 4th Toilet before I was in the band was we were opening up for the Loved One, and I don't know what the set was, but I went, okay, July 4th Toilet's opening, so they'll be done by about 10 o'clock, so I'll get there just after 10. And so I was thinking I would miss the band. And I showed up, and it was at the Niagara, and there you were.
This was the era of grunge, by the way. Yeah.
This was the era of grunge, and there you were on stage
like
in a fetal position. You still had your microphone, and the other band was like setting up, and you were just laying there in the fetal position, going. And they wouldn't turn the microphone off, and that was one of the best shows I've ever seen.
What about this press?
How can we top that?
Okay,
how can you? Jody?
Well, you can, Jody, you guys can all do and come down to see the Rock Fantasy, right?
Next.
We can all dress up as animals. We can do a children's show to begin with, and then we'll do the children's show for the adults.
Yeah.
That's how we're talking. We're making it a family event.
Please explain to me.
Jody, are you still there, Jody?
I'm still here.
Lastly, can you explain the Piss and Cup Press Club show? Was it at the press club, and was there piss in a cup?
Well, there may have been piss in a cup. There may not have been. Like it could have been us, but, you know, we've done lots of interesting things over the years, and...
But what gig was that, though? What gig was that, Jody? Please tell me, what gig was that? Rob, am I dreaming? What's going on about the pissing in the cup?
Did you see this happen, or is this just a slanderous...
It was
Friday night, okay? Come on.
Yeah, it was just another Friday night. But we guarantee that there will be no pee in a cup the next Friday, because we're doing children's and...
It is going to be hard to top.
It's not hard to top. I'm going to tell you something heavy, man, and I'm going to lay it down to you right now, solid as brick. A few years ago, I came to a turning point in my life, and it wasn't religion, because I got over that.
Do you hear that? That's me turning off the mic. Ba-boom! Okay, no, sorry, go ahead.
Let me finish.
Okay, go ahead, please. Yeah.
What is this, crossfire? Okay, so basically...
What's wrong with crossfire?
I love it. It's great. Did we get paid? Bill O'Reilly? No, what happened was I basically said, you know, the band has got so many facets, so many layers. We're like a big multicolored candy onion. And it's like, I was like going, man, this is like, all we're getting known for is me exposing myself. And it was just really annoying. So I basically stopped doing, we only strip down to our shorts. No, I stopped doing that because I realized that we're still a very interesting, exciting band that's totally fun live and great in a lot of ways and always different. And I think we have topped that, and we will top that, because it's too easy. Shock value is too easy. And we've become, we're still crazy, you know, we're not gotten bored or anything.
One last time, the piss story, please, Rob. Did you piss in a cup?
We're better musically now.
It was a pitcher.
It was a pitcher. Okay, I'm not giving you enough credit.
Large bladder. Man.
And you filled up the pitcher. And where was that? And was that part of
that? That was at the press club. And you have to understand, it was a long show, and I blacked out the last 2 to 3 hours of the show.
It was a 6-hour show, and you.
I blacked out the last 2 hours, and I'm proud to say that when I do blackout, and there will be more blackout gigs in the future. Not this show, but this show is going to be exciting in its own way because it's got backdrops and costumes and animals. But no, in the future. There'll be more blackout gigs, and I can proudly say that anytime I black out on stage, I remember all the words. I might not remember what I do to the audience, but I do remember all the words.
Now, was that one of the longest local gigs ever, 6 hour, until like the Beans?
No, we topped it the next year. We did a 7 hour show.
But then the Beans come along.
They did a 48-hour show, but they had pinch hitters. They had people like they took shifts. And they were playing very mellow. They were very mellow. They played very mellow music. We played music that was very up-tempo, you know, energetic. And I never left the stage except to go get a beer.
And then you let it all into a little pitcher. And what did you do with the pitcher afterwards? And how high was the pitcher filled? And was it warm?
Well, I was thirsty, and it wasn't any big deal.
Recycling.
I'd done it before. It was recycling. There was a member of the UN, a Japanese member of the UN, who was very into urinology. And one morning at a UN meeting, he sat at the UN meeting and he drank this glass and he said, "That was my first morning pee."
And I don't want to turn people away because it's an all ages gig of Rock Fantasy at the Wise Hall next Friday, and you also have an all age band opening for you, the Penguins.
They're like.
Can you explain
the
about
them,
Mark?
Well.
Julian, any explanation? Calm down.
Clancy. Introduced us to the Penguins. A friend of his saw them at a festival.
Now they're not going to show up to the show because of you talking about pee.
Well, no, listen, because all your shows, though, are always PG-13. No more than the swimsuit area exposed, right? Is
well,
that
that's Can-Ham. July 4th toilet. Well, obviously, this show is going to be very clean and for
we've
families.
We've changed a lot over
fun.
The years.
What's that?
We've changed a lot over the years.
Yeah, but, you know, we changed... We changed a lot over the first month. So we were a band.
I forgot that Jody was on the line. Do you sometimes forget who's in the band when you're on stage?
Never. Jody.
So who is not here?
Jody.
Who is not here right now again?
Susan said she'd call in.
Susan isn't here, our saxophone player. And who is also
here? Andre's not here because he can't play
Andre,
the show.
Andre's on the show.
He's too busy playing
in
with
fact,
Young
we,
and Sexy.
We have he's busy with Young and Sexy now. So we have I've taken over the bass position in this band. I will be playing.
And you
the
were
bass.
Stephen Hamm.
I am Stephen Hamm. We now have a new member, Step Carruthers, on keyboards. We have Susan, of course,
on saxophone and flute and vocals.
Her fine fiance.
What about
Eric?
Jay McLaughlin?
Jay can't make the show.
Why?
She was gonna be Sidney Clunk, the friendly skunk. But
what was Jay McLaughlin's contribution to July 4th Toilet?
Oh man, and
a lot of very masculine estrogen.
And we're gonna check out some early July 4th Toilet right now. Anything else you want to add at all, Jody? Or anything else you want to add, Jody? Are you still there, Jody?
I'm still here, and people should come out to the show because it's going to be a superstar, spectacular extravaganza. You're not going to want to miss it.
And if we can explain one more time, you're going to be covering the entire album, Rock Fantasy.
All 20 songs.
All 20 songs.
The land where the animals are people and the people are the animals.
And this is at the Wise Hall next Friday night.
Friday, July 23rd.
If you got kids or you know kids, this is going to be a fun experience.
And there are two shows. There's two shows.
I'm bringing my kids.
He's bringing his kids.
And there's two shows, right?
Julian's bringing his kids.
5 o'clock. 5:30 all ages and 9:30 for the rest.
Five o'clock door.
And right,
the young, the kids, the old kids.
And thanks very much, Jody, and doot doot. And
now,
we're still listening
playing?
To CITR, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, Columbia, Canada. We're going to play the White Album here.
A bit of
background, some background on this White Album here, please.
Well, it was the first project that we actually did. It was released on cassette by Traction Industries.
Justice.
And he released
it
was released only as a cassette back in the cassette era 10 years ago before CDs came about. And 10 years ago, and it was released on cassette, and basically the deal is we covered the entire White Album in one strange marathon stretch and then mixed it, reconfigured it, and sampled it, and it was our first project. Me, Julian, Mike Ledwich from Zampano, and Lester Smolensky. That was the first form of the band.
Here we have July 4th Toilet doing, do you know which particular song was going to be?
Revolution number 9.
on CITR.
Revolution number 9 landed an hour ago, and he's supposed to be here, and he's not. Oh, he's here.
Number five.
Oh, fuck.
the countdown. On a revolution.
I am not a number.
Three times three to make up nine.
The magic number.
It's you that's making it like this. It's you that's bloody making it like
the real.
On a revolution.
Number one.
I should love Aronoff. On a revolution.
Number two.
I should love Aronoff. On a revolution.
Number six.
I should love Aronoff. On a revolution.
I
should love Aronoff. On a revolution.
On a revolution.
Grows more aimless, unreal.
Pot smokers, speed freaks, beautiful people.
Where is he? His plane landed an hour ago. And he's supposed to be here. Oh, he's here.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Turn me on, dead man. Hey, turn me on, dead man. That's really far out, dead man.
What are you doing here? What if I-
And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show. And who do we still have in the studio today? Who are you? Please introduce yourselves again,
we'll start
please.
From this end.
I'm Julian Lawrence.
I'm Mark Gabriel.
I'm Stephen Hamm.
I'm Robert Dayton.
And we are
the July 4th Toilet.
That's right. About a quarter of, actually.
And what did we just hear there? We heard some interesting July 4th Toilet thumbs.
We started with the first project we ever did, which was covering the White Album.
Any more explanation about that?
It was a late-night drunken fiasco where we got together and redid the White Album, the Beatles' White Album.
So at that...
And then it got reworked and re-recorded. Everything got spliced and altered and messed with later.
At what point did you enter, Ham? I think you explained it was a little while. How many years into... Because we're celebrating 10 years here. Oh, 10 years of July 4th Toilet.
Yeah.
And actually, if anybody has any toilet memories, 604-UBC-CITR.
You could win a ticket to the show.
822-2487-UBC. CCITR. If you have any July 4th toilet memories, or if you were
best
at
memory,
or if you were at that Friday show, or if you were at that show. But when did you enter the fold?
I entered the fold about 3 years ago because the Toilet was doing a Vegas funk show and they needed a keyboard player. So I came in and I played some funky organ for them. And it was a one-off. I thought I'd be in for that one show, but then it was proposed to me that we do a unicorn set. So I couldn't pass up the unicorn set. I haven't hawed, but a unicorn set. I mean, we led Jody around and fed him sugar cubes. It was fantastic.
He had a horn.
And then
we sacrificed him.
Yeah, sacrificed him. The sacrifice I was into. And then I did the bird call show, which was great. And then after the bird call show,
we did a fashion show.
Really? We did a fashion, the July 4th Toilet fashion show. That was a lot of fun.
I must have blacked out the bird call show. I don't remember that one.
Yeah, you did. I left halfway through the set because I was sick of bird calls. And then I got to be involved in Dylan, which
was
great.
The entire Dylan album.
Yeah, which is a bunch of songs that Dylan covered. So we covered them.
And Dylan didn't want the album released, but the record company put it out as a contractual thing where they, as revenge, they were angry at him.
And also the War and Peace set, which was a great time at the end.
Right after 9/11, right after September 11th, we did a War and Peace set. We did The Walls Came Crumbling Down, Another One Bites the Dust, a whole bunch of songs.
Yeah, The End. And then I was involved in the record release. We have a fine record that I didn't record on, but my picture's in it. It's called Something for Everyone, and it's on.
Hard to get all the members together for a photo shoot.
It's the July 4th Toilet, Something for Everyone, and it's a great record, and it's on Pro-Am Entertainment International.
The same label that puts out Can't Have.
Yeah, you should go
check it
out.
It's also mixed by Tim Sleeping Bag Murphy, right?
Yeah.
Where is the Sleeping Bag, and what's his role?
He loved I should state, a lot of people go,
one song, right?
A lot of people get a certain idea what July 4th Toilet is about, and they don't quite get a fix on it because it's so different. And this
like with Can Am, because with Can Am, people don't realize you write your own songs, right?
Yes,
those are your own songs.
Those are
They're not covers. They're not covers.
And neither is this album. This Something for Everyone album is all originals. It's basically what we wanted to do.
Although the Beatles thing was more kind of a mashup,
it was a mashup.
And
early
Ham, I noticed that. Encouraged me to fade it down early.
Increase automatically.
Well,
you want the old stuff coming up, the old past, right? This is the new, right?
Yeah, this is a new Toilet. It's not new. It's like there have been 80 members in this band. I mean, it's one of those situations where you have to leave after a while because it's like we do a different set every 6 months, essentially, and it's a lot of work goes into this, and more work. That's why the shows are less and less, because, I mean, the next one is going to be McCartney and McCartney 2, right? That's what we're doing next. We've decided to do something that's, like, maybe a little bit less.
What's that, McCartney and McCartney
2? Yeah, Paul McCartney's first solo album, and then McCartney 2 from 1981.
Which he did after Wings broke up.
Yeah.
He did McCartney after the Beatles broke up, and then he did McCartney 2 after Wings broke up. One's acoustic and the other's synthetic.
So when people come to your shows, like over this 10 years, do people shout requests out? I mean, can
that happen?
Show us your dick, Robert.
No.
Ba-boom.
Yeah, but I usually do that in private in the washroom after the show.
Well, we've written songs for people who have written poems like off the cuff at the show. They'll write a poem and we'll write a song to it and perform it right there.
It's basically our tribute to song poems, which is song poem was a form where you would send in your lyrics. And these session musicians like Rod Keith, for example, and there are some great volumes of song poems available on CD that you can find. Ask for them by name. And it was a whole scam where where people would pay money thinking they'd become famous songwriters and musicians by sending in these lyrics that the session band would just knock off. They'd knock off about 50 songs a day and record them onto vinyl and send them to the people for a low price. And so what we did was we would do shows as a tribute to that. We'd hand out paper and pens. People would write lyrics, and we'd set them to music. Sometimes we'd say, what style of music? Oh, blues boogie? Okay, we'll do your song in blues boogie form. Something for Everyone's different. Our album, Something for Everyone, is basically an album that's different than that. It's all originals that we wrote.
This was the gnome tune we just heard.
Yeah, the gnome tune. It's got ballads. It's got it all. Like, we are, yes, we do ballads. We do serious ballads. We do it all. Whatever. We do what we
want.
You're
going to be doing Rock Fantasy next Friday. Next Friday night.
At the Wise Hall.
July 23rd.
At the Wise Fall.
Two shows.
At the Wise Fall.
All ages.
Oh, well, and people can fall because there'll be small children there because of our two shows, right?
Yes, that's right.
And the penguins are playing.
The 10-year-olds that do Led Zeppelin covers and whatnot. They cover classic rock, and they have some of their own numbers as well.
And it's safe for everybody to go.
It's safe
everybody
for everyone.
To go.
Yeah. So please come see us.
This is going to be this multicolored costume, animal costume extravaganza.
I'm giraffe. I'm going to be dressed up as a giraffe. And you know, and Julian's Harry O'Hare and Robert's Birdie Bird, and we're all going to be in these costumes, and it's going to be the event
playing
of the summer.
Characters.
I mean, it's like Cats, forget it. You know, I mean, whatever's going on at
you'll
the,
have stronger memories of this than you will of Cats. I can guarantee it.
Or of you pissing in the picture.
No,
this is going to cement it. So we have the Rock Fantasy album here. I'm looking at this thing.
If you now,
one
of that kid's going to remember this show.
Do you think since you're before? This entire K-Tel album. It's an entire K-Tel album.
Yes.
The thing was originally released that the musicians were in on the gag that they were participating in.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Like, can you hear any jokes? Like,
oh, yeah.
Do you know?
They overdub. The only overdubs are the jokes. Right, yeah. The guy sings his song, and then he does, like, you know, giraffe. It's like, you know, hey baby, it's your long tall Georgie, I'm knocking at your door. And then there's
giraffe
is
here.
And then, you know, like,
your long neck daddy is near.
And then there's something about your zip code daddy. You know, there's some, like, they're kind of off color jokes.
So you can always tell the overdubs.
You can always tell the overdubs.
Yeah. And how did you decide who does what part here? Because we have Sir Dandelion. That's a great tune. Is that you?
Paul Anthony will be playing the part.
Because some of these parts do look like they're very Rob designed, aren't they?
Rob is only actually singing three songs by Birdie Bird.
But I guide everyone through the land where animals are people, which is the concept of the album and the concept of the show.
Yeah, what is the concept?
There's a story.
So wait a second. When they bought all these songs from this... Who was the guy's name again?
There will be a free Rock Fantasy comic.
When they bought all these songs from Jewel Aitken, was there any story?
I mean, it's not implied, but I mean, you listen to it, there's a theme going on it, and Julian sort of, he distilled an actual story from
it. You think there is a story from this?
From the 20 songs? Yeah, I was able to put together a 6-page comic that connects all 20 songs
which
together.
You will get, the 6-page comic, drawn by our guitar player, Julian.
So when people were buying this...
No, man, when you come to the show, in addition on the $8 ticket charge, you will receive a comic book telling the story of Rock Fantasy. You can follow the comic book. We will be doing it'll be a dramatic presentation, but you can also if we mess up somehow, you can follow the storybook and you can figure out the story of what is going on stage.
And if you can Fourth Toilet, 822-2487 UBCCITR for any of your July 4th toilet memories.
Or if you just call, we'll give you some tickets, okay?
I'll walk down July 4th toilet
UBCCITR. I was going to say, though, Julian, when people bought this record years ago,
75.
Were K-Tel marketing this as a fantasy, i.e. were as a story? Well, did they hope that people would get a story out of this? Or was there some demonic parts to this? Because I noticed that one of those songs there, which particular one is that? That's the one by the Sydney Clunk guy. It talks about hurting.
The friendly skunk.
It talks about hurting people.
Yeah,
it's kind of violent.
You sure know how to hurt a fellow, but he was hurt.
Georgie, there's a gun.
It was his heart was hurt. He was emotionally hurt.
But so what about the story? Like, what did you profile in your comic? What did you find?
We're preparing kids for life, but with heartbreak.
Figure. So when there's a gun, it's actually just a, you know, a little dart gun.
But what is the story? Would you have the story?
The story is Bernie Bird is trapped in the land where the people are animals, and it's just awful. He's living a horrible life. He's getting run over by cars, stepped on, and he just wants to go somewhere where he can get a slice of the pie. And then he realizes that the place to go to is the land where animals are people. He flies there. He's greeted by the Dog family and Samuel J. Bear, and then they take him to a pub where they go for a party. They
and by the way, it's smurfing beer, so you don't get drunk, and it isn't
Kickapoo
beer.
It's joy juice.
Yes.
And pie.
Yeah. And do you think you guys are the first to kind of discover that this is actually going on, a la, you know, those people that sync up, you know, Pink Floyd to Wizard of Oz? Is this like one of these sort of things? Are you supposed
I know
you said it's a very kid show, but are you supposed to get hammered before he goes acid or something? And why are animals involved?
No, it's just fun. It's just...
That's a concept of the album. I mean, look at let's read the track listing. It opens up with Bernie Bird doing It's the Only Way to Fly.
And it even goes, "Here comes Bernie Bird."
And then up next is Sir Dandelion doing the song Sir Dandelion. The Dog Family do the song The Land Where Animals Are People. Giraffe does Long Tall Georgie. Horace Howell, the wise old owl, does He Who Hesitates Is Lost.
Et cetera, et cetera.
But if you try turning it backwards or anything like that, is there anything else you haven't discovered about
this? They already did that to The Dark Side of the Moon. So.
No, I mean, you know, we're just paying tribute to an album that we think is will make, like, basically, man, we were all listening to it on our headphones, closing our eyes and imagining this land where animals are people. It's a very visual record.
In a perfect world.
Perfect live show.
In a perfect world, it wouldn't be Michael White and the White doing Houses of the Holy. It would, at the Commodore to a packed house, it would be the July 4th toilet doing K-Tel's Rock Fantasy.
And it is going to be happening!
It is a perfect world. So, I mean, the Wise Hall will be full of people, and they're going to love it.
Friday, July the 23rd, and you guys actually
That's
have been acknowledged
one week.
By K-Tel. Do you know that?
On their website.
On the K-Tel website.
On the K-Tel Classics website. You've made it. I mean, you can retire. I mean, this is it. You've made it on K-Tel, a Canadian company. The K-Tel Classics website has a link to your website there. That's amazing. How did that...
www.july4th.com.
What does K-Tel think of this? Because I just saw a link. Like, what do they think of what you're doing? Have you had any feedback from that? Are you expecting them to show up and, you know, request some money for performance?
like I said earlier, before I was so rudely interrupted by... you. We actually contacted K-Tel for any info we could find about the album, and they had no info about this album. It's one of the only original albums they put out, because every other album was like AM pop hits that they repackaged on compilations. This was pretty much an original album. The only other one I know of is Fun Town, which is made by the drunken puppeteer Uncle Bob from Winnipeg. And that's it, you know? So... what's the story? They don't know.
Did any of these songs end up on any other K-Tel comps?
No. Not that we know of.
The Birds and the Bees.
Jule Akin's version of
Just the Birds and the Bees.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
But they didn't end up anywhere else.
The original,
we believe I think the Vegetable Love song was somewhere.
That's a Jule Akin song.
Long Tall Georgie is actually performed by Jule Akin's as
Georgie Porgy.
And right now, we're going to do a little comparison here. What are we going to compare? We're going to compare
Big Round Wheel as performed by Horace Howell with Big Round Wheel as performed by July 4th Toy.
You have to remember, this is a practice tape.
This is a practice tape.
But you will be hearing this sort of practice tape performance next Friday night, the 23rd at the White Hall, right?
Be supreme.
We've been working on this show in Ottawa since March. And this tape was made about a month ago, and we've been practicing.
They didn't know they were being recorded either.
Yeah.
No excuses. No excuses.
No, I'm not making an excuse, but it's going to be a smoking show.
And if you want to go, 822-2487, UBC, CITR, to some free tickets to go see Rock Fantasy next Friday night at the Wise Hall. I'll specify which show you want to go to, the early or the late show, or maybe you can go to all shows. So
bring the entire family.
Here we have some July 4th toilet, and we'll be right back right after this with some more 10-year anniversary July 4th toilet profiling on CITR.
I'm just a little spoke in a big round wheel, the big round wheel. Big round wheel, I'm just a little old spoke in the big round wheel of life that rolls along. Just a little old dot in the melting pot, but I'm real happy with what I've got. I've done a lot of living, and if I'm not wrong, I'll do a lot more before I'm gone. I'm just a little old spoke in the big round wheel. Big round wheel, the big
haircuts. Now, I don't really give a hoot for riches, glamour, or fame. Just as long as my good old friends remember my name, I'm just a little spoke in a big round wheel. Big round wheel, big round wheel. I'm just a little spoke in a big round wheel. Judge a book by its cover. Judge it by its price.
Thank you.
And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and an Ardwater Human Serviette Radio Show. And we still have July 4th Toilet here, live on CITR. And what did we just hear there? Please explain. There was a lot going on there. There was a triple shot. Was it basically a triple shot of July 4th Toilet? Well, indirectly. I guess we had some rock fans. But, I mean, has that ever happened before in the 10-year history of July 4th Toilet? Has it ever happened before, a triple shot of July 4th Toilet?
A triple shot.
Well, but still.
We've done 6 hours.
A July 4th. Yeah, that is true. A July 4th Toilet themed triple shot. So maybe explain what we heard there. Let's start with the last song,
because then we can get into. The last song was called Twinkle Bell. And it was for a compilation called Teenster that Judith Beeman put out. And
Judith Beeman, I just wanted to say, I remember going to her house, and it was where I first discovered the internet. I remember going and discovering
her.
She pioneered things.
Now we have a website.
She pioneered. She had a zine all about Big Star, and Big Star got back together. She pioneers things. She interviewed Thor, and what happened to Thor? She covered, or she put July 4th Toilet on a comp, and where are you
today?
You're here today. Live from the Norbert Human Serviette Radio Show.
That song is basically, obviously, an original song that we wrote, but it's a glam song, so it's firmly placed in the cheek of the glam idiom. And what that song basically entails is, well, we like glam. We like glam rock. I mean, I would say that I would have to say personally that glam rock is my favorite form of rock. I love Stardust. I love
glitter. So that was an original July 4th Toiletter?
Yes.
That was an original Jive Force Toiletter. But before
that,
there
are tips of the hat.
But before that, we heard some of the rock fantasy, what you will be hearing next Friday night.
That's right.
We heard Big Round Wheel by Horton Howell. Horace Howell, the wise old owl. And then we heard one of our practices that Mark taped.
Yeah.
The same song.
Totally.
So, but it ties into the glam thing. It's a very glam, you know, R&B kind of a record. It's made in that era, and it's a pretty great record.
And we also...
And we're covering it at the Wise Hall on Friday, July 23rd.
Next Friday, July 23rd. With the
penguins.
No, listen. With the penguins. And now, some people were lucky enough to phone in. I'm sorry if I cut you off. Please phone in again, 822-2487, UBCCHR, if you have any July 4th Toilet stories, or you want to win some tickets, possibly, maybe, I guess we're... bringing the guest list up really fat here now, but still,
I made some mistakes,
and I apologize. I hung up on people. We had double people
on
the line.
We all make mistakes. We're only human. We're only animals.
Let's just get the information. For those of you that won tickets, your name, Julian, right, will be at the door of the Wise Hall, which is at 1882 Adenac, right?
You got it.
On Adenac Street in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And also, what other information was there? That was it.
There's two shows.
5 o'clock is all ages. Fun for the whole family.
And what shows did the winners win tickets to? Just in case they're wondering.
Well, the one winner's...
Winner requested both.
Okay.
And the other winner is bringing his kid after daycare.
Yeah.
And we have a winner right now on the line. Are you there, winner? Winner, are you there? Hello, caller. Winner, are you there? Winner. Winner. Winner.
We're all winners, man.
Did you just hang up on the winner?
No, I think the winner, I think, might have hung up on us. So please phone back, 822-2487, UBCCHR, if you have any July 4th Toilet memories. These guys have been around for 10 years. Come on, they got to have one. Okay, by the time I count from 10 to 0.
There we go.
Okay.
Hello, winner.
Caller, are you there, winner?
I am here.
Go ahead, Dan. Is this Dan? Hello, are you there, caller?
I am right here.
Go ahead. What is your July 4th Toilet memory?
My July 4th Toilet memory?
Of the band July 4th Toilet.
Oh, to be honest with you, I don't really have one.
But you're going to get a winner! Okay, thank you, but you're going to win.
You got another call?
You're going to go check them out next Friday night at the Wise
Hall. 23rd.
I am indeed.
Okay.
Dan, are you familiar with the Rock Fantasy album?
I'm sorry, you have to speak up.
Are you familiar with the KTEL classic Rock Fantasy?
I'm familiar with glam rock.
Okay.
Then you'll love the show,
okay,
man.
Okay,
see you there.
Well, thank you.
Your future children will love the show.
Caller, are you still there?
Your future children's children will
caller,
love the show.
Caller and doot doo da loot doo.
Dude.
All right. Okay, with that. Are you a winner? Are you a winner?
Oh, you hung up on us.
Hello, caller. Are you there? Caller, are you there?
Hello.
Caller, are you there?
Oh no.
Oh, caller, are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, hold on a sec.
Go, go ahead.
I already won tickets.
What's your July 4th toilet memory?
July 4th the band or July 4th the date?
Well, the band. July 4th
the band. You're on KTEL?
Oh, yeah.
No, that is
that is. Don't listen to that is very good that the listener and caller has been listening to the interview. Do you understand, no caller, what the band is going to be doing next Friday night?
Yeah, we're going. That's the whole point. This is a great. Yeah, we're going.
They're
going
to be recreating it. Thank you for calling in, caller, and
doo-doo-da-loot-doo.
Okay, we are right now. Watch this. The phone line is now jammed. I have jammed the phone line, and I'm going to open the phone line. And when I open the phone line, we're only going to let callers through that have a July 4th toilet memory. These guys have been around for 10 years.
Yeah, man, we ain't no wide-eyed babies, I tell you that.
There must be somebody that has seen them out there. So by the time I count from 10 down to 0... I want you to please rush to the phone and phone in. And if you can't, the rest of their 10 years will be a failure. Okay, and I'm clear.
By the way, just because it's 10 years of July 4th toilet doesn't mean that we're out of ideas. We got ideas for the next couple albums, future shows.
10!
We're not ending.
9!
We're just celebrating.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. The line has now been cleared.
Hello.
Okay, I'm going to be very, very careful, too.
Yeah.
Okay, let's
play. Hey, caller,
okay,
we're putting you on.
Caller, are you there? Hello, caller.
What did you do, man?
Hello, caller. I'm sorry, July 4th toilet, I've jinxed you.
Well, that's a caller.
I've jinxed you. I don't know. It's not going through. Caller, call back because we'll jam line one for you so you can call back on line two.
So anyhow, next Friday night at
check
the Wise
hang
Hall,
up and call back.
5:30, all ages, 9:30.
9 p.m., doors 9
the
p.m.
The Penguins, 10-year-olds, doing Zeppelin covers. Then the July 4th toilet, doing Rock Fantasy. And that's Friday, July 23rd.
And since you're doing
5 p.m. and 9 p.m.
And since, Ham, you're doing such great plugging, how about a little canned ham update?
You told me that.
How about a little canned ham update in the canned ham corner? I wanted to ask you, because I was thinking again about terrorists and stuff like that.
Yes.
You guys were flying right after 9/11, weren't you?
Yeah.
And what happened? You were actually asked to disarm. What happened there?
Because I'm a big guy. We were we like to sit in the emergency exits. So the... I have to go pay my parking. So the stewardess, we were on ATA, which is a fine Airbus, a fine airline.
Fine Airbus.
Yeah, fine Airbus. And we were sitting in there, and usually when you sit in the emergency aisles, they ask you, if you will help people in case of an emergency, get out of the plane. But the stewardess decided to embellish, and she asked us if we would be willing to help disarm any potential threat on the plane.
Now, was this to everybody or just you in particular?
No, there were six of us.
No,
she asked Robert, she asked myself. We were like, yeah, sure. And then we asked the guy who was sitting beside Robert. He said, hell yeah, I'll take out any of them. Bleep, bleep, bleep. I'll be the first one to run.
First one to run away from the terrorists, probably. And then we're landing into Manhattan, and she's talking about, oh, Manhattan in the 70s. I remember I was living right in upper Manhattan in the 70s. And the guy went, wow, must have been exciting. She went, yeah, there were these two big buildings.
This is not a joke. That's what she said. As we looked down on the spotlight-laden crater that was once the World Trade Center.
And you're still listening to CITR, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Thank you very much, July 4th Toyot, for coming in and helping to celebrate your 10 years alive. Yes, go ahead, Robert.
I want to explain what we're ending with.
Yes, go ahead.
I should say that when we formed 10 years ago, we needed a name for the band, and we happened to be interviewing the Zip Code Rapists, probably one of the only good musical acts of the 90s.
Interviewing for what?
For a zine I used to do called Bunyan. It was part of the original 90s Vancouver zine scene, part of the big wave of zines. It was one of the early ones from that 90s wave.
Maybe right now we should make a quick little mention of Drippy Town. Maybe Julian and Rob could talk a bit about the Drippy Town.
Well, I'm not really involved with Drippy Town.
The Drippy Town.
Because you said the Drippy Gazette.
That's what, yeah, Rob and I started the Drippy Gazette with Lester and Alexis Gall in 99. And from...
It was a free newspaper.
Yeah.
Of to comics,
sort of
music, and entertainment.
The void that Terminal City left when it closed down back in 99. So we put out a monthly called Drippy Gazette.
It was full of whimsical irreverence.
And comics and music. And then we got a grant from the Zurich Foundation, which was started by the Mutant Ninja Turtle folks. And
really?
Yeah. So we shifted gears and put out a comic book.
And it still comes out every year?
Yeah, once a year.
Yeah.
Got a little anthology going.
It's a lot different from the Gazette. It's all comics. I'm not involved with it, so.
And the Zip Code Rapists help name your band.
Basically, they named the band. Greg Turkington, who's a fine person who actually is also a writer and a performer. He writes. He's writing for a book coming out on Neglected Records, put out by the people who did the Bubblegum the Naked Truth book. And this book on Neglected Records has lots of writings by people like Greg Turkington, Richard Meltzer, Gary Pig Gold, and myself. I've written about five or six albums, including one of the albums I've written about is...
The Condor International release.
No,
crazy people.
It is Rock Fantasy. I've written about Rock Fantasy for this book coming out in October. But anyways, when I first met Greg and John, it was the Zip Code Rapists, and there's no act like them. I, if you could only describe the insanity of their shows, and I was very pleased to interview them. Greg had a huge list of band names that included U.S. Saucer, Faxed Head, Cheapers. There was the Easy Goings. There was Totem Pole of Losers. And John basically said, you know, and after Totem Pole of Losers, I think was July 4th Toilet. And John of the band said, hey, I've got a name for your band, July 4th Toilet. And the rest is history. Greg named the band. John gave us the name. And we're going to play a song from the record set, the three single set, Bruce Lee, Heroin, and the Punk Scene, which features acts like the Frogs and the Sun City Girls and the Zip Code Rapists doing a track that's not really one of their more musical tracks. It's more of a TV movie soundtrack kind of track called Why Do People Do Heroin?
And people should check out the Terry Jacks movie because you're obsessed by that too, aren't you?
The right? Seasons in the Sun movie.
There actually was a movie.
There was
a movie. I know I've asked you this many times.
It's a massive. It's on video. I'll loan you my copy. If anybody wants to borrow my video copy,
this is Terry Jacks, Canadian. Terry Jacks.
And now, Nardwar, here's a funny thing. You and Jake Austin is involved in the book on Neglected Records, and he puts out a magazine called Rocktober, which is probably the greatest magazine on music that's around today, and you and I both write for Rocktober. We are contributors to Rocktober. That's one of our special love connections, you and I, Nardwar. And
weren't you once described as me?
It was as a normal human being or something. Someone described that. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think we do have a lot of similarities. We both have body hair. But anyways, that's one. Whatever. But we both write for Rocktober, and I did write an article on Seasons in the Sun for Terminal City, which I'm a regular columnist for, and for Rocktober. If anybody ever wants to read this article on Rocktober, or if anybody wants to see, I mean, on Seasons in the Sun, pardon me, I'm getting all crazy like you. I guess I've been compared as you in the past. I heard you say a couple minutes ago. But if anybody wants to, anything with Seasons in the Sun, email me, mustachedpainless@yahoo.com. mustached painless@yahoo.com. And you can see the Seasons in the Sun TV movie.
Anything else you want to add to the people out there at all, the rest of July 4th Toilet?
Does that make any sense?
Yes, we'll be doing Rock Fantasy at the Wise Hall next Friday, July 23rd. All ages show at 5, booze show at 9. See you there, folks!
It's going to be a colorful extravaganza. It'll be like Nardwar with glasses.
Well, thanks very much, July 4th Toilet. Keep on rocking in the free world and do-do-do-loot-do.
Do-do-do-do.